Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Today we start a new chapter, Babu Tahrimil Ghadari, the chapter on the prohibition of treachery. The first ayat of the Quran Sharif, we'll explain this just now. The first ayat of Quran Sharif brought from Surah Al-Ma'idah, قال الله تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا أوفوا بالعقود. Allah Ta'ala says, and fulfill the covenant, certainly questioning shall take place with regard to covenants. So in Sharia you get two things. One is known as a ahd and one is known as a mu'ahada. Ahd or wa'da is something that is one-sided. In any, you got two parties and one party now decides to make a promise. And the other party, there is no action or obligation from the other party in any way. For example, one person is making a promise. I promise that I will do something in the future. It's not requiring a corresponding transfer, is not requiring a corresponding action, is not requiring any corresponding obligation on the part of the other party. So this is known as a wa'ada. And then something is known as a mu'ahada. Mu'ahada is where you got two parties entering into an agreement and there is delivery expected from both parties. There is some type of action expected from both parties. For example, a purchase and a sale. When you got a purchase and a sale, one person will have to give up some asset, another person will give up the payment price. For example, you go to a supermarket, now there is a contract between two parties. Although it is not a written contract, it is an understood contract that I am giving you the money and you giving me the sugar, you giving me the rice, you giving me the oil. Like that, the person is purchasing a car, there is a contract that is in place that I am purchasing your car, one person will give the money and the other person is expected to deliver and give the vehicle. Like that, the purchase of a house, purchase of any other thing, this is known in Sharia as a mu'ahada. Mu'ahada is a two-sided contract. A wa'da, a promise, is one-sided. So that's the difference between the two. So here this ayat of the Quran is saying, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, ofu bil uqood. That all you who believe, fulfill your covenants, whatever contracts you have entered into, and fulfill these contracts, give these contracts its due right. The next ayat we said, Allah, and fulfill your covenants, fulfill your contracts. Certainly questioning shall take place with regard to covenants. Now you might ask, what's the difference between the two, between a promise and a two-sided? In English we call it unilateral contract and a bilateral contract. Bilateral is a contract from both sides. You might ask, what's the difference? In Sharia, when you got a bilateral contract, then if there is an Islamic court, then the person can go to the Islamic court, he can go to the Qazi, and he can demand that he fulfilled his side of the contract. He can now demand that the Qazi enforces an order to make the other person fulfill his side of the contract. So this is what can happen as far as a two-sided contract. Unfortunately, when it comes to a one-sided promise, in other words, one-sided contract, man made a promise. Now this, even if a person goes to the Qazi, he can't enforce a promise that the person made. Why? Because this was just a promise from his side. What he did by breaking his promise, yes, this is morally wrong, it's incorrect. And this person, it is between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now. But the other party can't enforce one-sided transaction. So this is the difference between the two as far as the legal shari'i status is concerned. So the first hadith we'll do, عن عبد الله بن عمرو بن عاص رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال أربع من كن فيه كان منافقا خالصا ومن كانت فيه خصلة منهن كان فيه خصلة من النفاق حتى يدعها إذا أتمن خان وإذا حدث كذب وإذا عاهد غدر وإذا خاصم فجر متفق عليه. حضرت عبداللہ بن عمر بن عاص رضی اللہ عنہم narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, if anyone has four qualities, he is a pure hypocrite. He is a pure hypocrite. In other words, if he has all four qualities, then he is 100% hypocrite. And if he has one of them, then he has a quality of hypocrisy until he gives it up. So it's as though if he has one of these four, he has 25% hypocrisy in him. Until he gives it up, then he'll be again not a hypocrite. And if he has one of them, then he has a quality of hypocrisy until he gives it up. When he is placed, now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is explaining these four qualities, so to speak, each one, for our understanding purposes, each one of these qualities equal to 25%. And if a person has all four, then he's a pure hypocrite. So the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now is explaining which four qualities these are. When he is placed in a position of trust, he betrays his trust. Somebody trusts him. Somebody comes and places some item in his trust. Look after this for me. Take care of this for me. And this is happening so commonly today. A person is a trustee of a trust, and now he abuses the funds for his own personal benefits. He's taking all personal benefits from there. Or sometimes the person is the executor of the estate, and now instead of distributing the monies and being fair with the income from the estate, what this person is doing, he's enjoying himself at the predicament of everyone else. This is something very, very common. Sometimes a person may be a trustee of a masjid, of an Islamic organization, and there he's not fulfilling his trust. This also is a very, very serious thing. Sometimes also a trust can be in a form. A person comes to you and confidentially asks you for some mashura. Or he comes to you and he tells you something in confidence, with the hope that he's telling it to you in confidence, and you betray his trust. Next person you see, you know what he told me. You heard what he told me. Don't tell anybody. I'm just telling you. And that story keeps going on. The second person will tell the third person, will tell the fourth person, until that thing will reach 100 people. And it started off with a trust. So trust is something that is extremely important, as we can see here. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that it is one of the qualities of hypocrisy, that when he is placed in a position of trust, he betrays his trust. The second quality is, when he speaks, he lies. When he speaks, he lies. And he doesn't mind lying to him. He lies, he exaggerates, he speaks things that are not correct. And once a person gets into the habit of speaking lies, then to get out of this habit is very, very hard. Why? Because he has already trivialized a lie. And when you find a person who is not in the habit of speaking a lie, even if he said something that is not fully a lie, it is like something that is, what we see, maybe a white lie also, but it will prick his conscience, and he will keep warning him that I said something that was not right. Allah Ta'ala make us like that, that we pure, we clean, we honest all the time. And if he says something that is not correct, it must prick us, it must worry us that I said something that is not correct. And we must take the correct rectification measures in that situation. Anyway, this is the second quality, is when he lies, when he speaks, he lies. The third is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that when he makes a promise, he breaks it. He makes a promise, he breaks it. Now this is the part that ties up with this chapter that we're doing, is that this is one form of ghadr, one form of treachery, one form of deception, is you make a promise and you break it. So this is this part, when he makes a promise, he breaks it, and he thinks nothing of it. Now why this is so serious is because people won't value words, won't value a promise any longer. If promises are just being broken left, right and center, if a man really makes a promise, will there be any value for it? Nobody will value for it, because what weight does it carry? So therefore we must look after and take care of the promise. If a man makes a promise, he must honor that promise, that my word is my honor. Irrespective of whether I can enforce it in court or not, it is something else. But the fact that I made a promise is something that I should uphold as far as possible. And the fourth quality Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions in this hadith is when he disputes, he becomes vulgar. When he disputes, now there is some type of disagreement over some issue. Now the way to resolve it is with decorum, amicable resolution. Person supposed to resolve that issue, whatever it may be, a business dispute, it may be a dispute with his wife, it may be a disagreement with his wife, or a disagreement with his son, or with his brother, or with his neighbor, or with his staff. Now there is a disagreement, there is some issue. Now instead of sitting down, discussing the issue, finding some resolution, what happens with this person? This person that has got this quality of nifaq, hypocrisy in him, when he disputes, he becomes vulgar. Now all sorts of languages come out of his mouth, what we say, verbal diarrhea. Person uses all types of language now when he is, this is a sign of nifaq, hypocrisy. It doesn't mean a person is strong and is brave, actually it's a sign of weakness. When a person has a quality of hypocrisy in him, it's a sign of weakness. So therefore Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam so beautifully gave us an analogy, gave us an example. If anyone has these four qualities all together, he's a pure hypocrite. And if he has one of them, then he has a quality of hypocrisy. Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq that we can stay away from doing all the wrong things that were mentioned in this, and give us the quality and tawfiq of doing all the right things that we should be doing as a Muslim. In other words, if we are placed in a position of trust, then we honor that trust. When we speak, we're honest, we don't speak lies. And when we make promises, we honor that promise. And if we have any type of disagreement, we're able to resolve it amicably, with respect and with decorum.
Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun al mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.